once we open that tap of happiness which emerges from within, then also we find the energy, we find the vitality when we do that to manifest what we need externally as well. So we find the abundance, we find the relationships that we seek, we find so many things in our external world that we think bring us happiness. We find them once we open this tap of happiness from within.
Welcome to the Gratitude Podcast on www.georgeandbenta.com, where you'll hear a new story each week that will inspire more gratitude in your own life. Our mission is to inspire 100,000 people to discover how to feel gratitude and live a happy life through the amazing life stories of our successful guests and their actionable tips. And now, the host of our podcast, George and Benta.
Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Today with me from India, I have Rohil Jethmalani. He's a yogi and has begun his journey on this path 7 years ago. In a quest to find his true self, he visited many masters and guides from different parts of India. Soon, the realization dawned that the real guru is within, and other masters are simply mirrors. He has spent long periods of time over the past few years with his teacher, Ajay Kumar, learning Ashtanga in the traditional Myosore style. And soon afterwards, he began to teach, feeling the need to share the secret practices that have brought so much peace and fulfillment in his own personal life and journey. He is using yoga as not only a tool for physical transformation, but also to effect deeper mental and spiritual change. And how we met has a lot to do with this. A few weeks ago, I was thinking it would be awesome to have someone on the podcast to explore the deeper effects that yoga has on us and beyond the body itself. And after a few days, out of nowhere, Rohil appeared, having that exact perspective I was looking for. And so we got in contact, and now here we are. Rohil, welcome to the Gratitude Podcast.
Thank you for having me on the podcast, and I'm really looking forward to this.
My pleasure. I'm really happy that the universe got us together and that we're able to do this, even though we're so far away, and that we get to learn from each other and to grow and to share this amazing information with people from all around the world. So my first question for you is, why do you think it's easier to feel grateful after practicing yoga? I'm saying this because it's in my own experience, whenever I practiced yoga, and usually when I did it for with a certain constance, like a few days or weeks or something, I felt that it was so much easier to feel grateful. Why do you think that is?
I think when we practice yoga, especially when we're doing the physical practice of the asana, we are really also connecting deeply to our body, to our breath. And when we do this, we are somehow taking ourselves outside of the mind. And so it's easier to feel grateful, because I truly feel that gratitude is very much linked to losing a bit of our self-centeredness, a bit of our ego. So we need to lose a little bit of that to actually feel that space of gratefulness. And one way of doing that, of course, is to connect with the body, to reconnect with our breath, where we sort of find that connection not only to our body, but to things around us, to the air around us, to because the physical body is actually our only point of connection to nature around us, to the world around us. So I really think that sometimes coming out of the mind and into the body helps us access that feeling of gratitude or surrender.
Mm, I love that perspective. And I also think that we're somehow trapped in our mind when we're not moving our body, when we're not doing something with our body. And I know that for you, it is about the physical body, but it's more than that. It's the physical body actually helps us become a master of our mind. How does the body influence our mind?
True, of course, the physical body is our vessel. It's sort of the vehicle we are using in this life to traverse, to have the experiences, in a sense, that our soul wants to have. And so when a lot of people embark upon the spiritual path are looking to escape sometimes, or are looking to reach this sort of bliss or samadhi that's outside of the body, to transcend the physical body. But I find that a lot of the times the yoga practice is about embodying that spirit within the physical body. So bringing the soul or the spirit down here into the body. And when we manage to do that, when we start to become more grounded, we start to reconnect with our body, with feeling good in our physical body, eating the right food, doing the right practices, automatically the mind begins to align. We start to see a way in which the body can support a healthy mind, healthy emotions, healthy thoughts. And by raising awareness on the body, so in our asana practice, we raise awareness of the body. We also then begin to raise awareness of our thought patterns, our emotional patterns, and things that are causing us pain and suffering. So I really find that nothing is sort of separate. So we can't just have a purely physical practice or a purely mental practice if we truly want to feel that sort of sense of satisfaction and connection.
Mm-hmm. I really think that one of the things that many spiritual practices lack is this part, the physical part, the fact that we're not doing much with our body, with the vessel in which we have our soul. And I think yoga has that, and you can really go deeper thanks to these asanas and to this practice. And I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what's happening in our body and how that relates to our soul when we practice asanas. Because I think many of our listeners know about different kinds of asanas, but they might not know about what happens on a deeper level whenever we take such practice on.
So I would like to begin just by talking about the soul in general and its relationship to the body. I truly believe that we are here in this physical body on this earth for a particular reason. And that reason is not simply to try and find a way back to source, or try and do a sort of transcendental practice that takes us away from the body or makes us transcend the body. So we find a lot of meditation practices and a lot of other spiritual practices that emphasize on mind over matter. But I truly feel that we have come here to create that enlightenment, that paradise, that bliss here within the physical realm. And so souls have chosen to go through this experience. And I feel that really in the asana practice, we are rejoicing in that fact that we have a body. We are rejoicing in the fact that we can take care of this body to the best of our capacity. And that we are truly bringing out the complete potential that this body has to offer us, because our physical body also, we shouldn't forget, is a result of many, many thousands of years of evolution. It's a technology that has been created by nature, and a technology that allows the soul to sort of settle into it and experience this amazing experience that we have, this complex myriad of emotions, thoughts, feelings, situations that we can experience through this body. Mm-hmm. So I really think that the asana practice is allowing us to go deeper, to understand why we are here, and to understand that it's not a polarity of mind versus body or soul versus physical, but that we are trying to create that connection, and that work begins from the physical body.
Mm, wonderful. Wonderful. Have you seen, for instance, a connection between the rigidity of the mind and the rigidity of the body?
Most definitely. I I think that we store traumas in our body. So whenever we go through certain experiences that are unpleasant, or we go through certain phases of our life, even a few months at a time, which are really difficult, we tend to store these traumas, this suffering in certain parts of the body. Notice how when you're in a dangerous situation, when there's danger, you sort of start to tense up. Mm-hmm. And the same way, I think with any aspect, our body is basically a means of storage. And what it is storing is different memories. So if we look at our DNA is storing memories of our ancestors, of the entire evolutionary path that that has been there before us to bring us where we are. The same way our muscles and our connective tissue, I see that as a memory for our past experiences within this life. And so when we are in a certain framework of mind, a certain state of mind, we create these blockages. So one way, of course, is also, and I've also found this for myself, that if I go for a meditation retreat and I spend 10 days in silence, I actually find at the end of it, my body is a lot more flexible, a lot more loose, and I feel a lot more lightness within the body. So I think it can be worked both ways. We can start to change our mind, and that will have its effects on the body. And similarly, as we start to open out the body, what tends to happen is that blockages, as they are released, emotions start to surface. And this is why a lot of people, especially when they immerse themselves in an asana practice, they start to feel quite a lot of emotions coming to the front. Yeah.
I love the perspective. I love the fact that it actually goes both ways. I was only thinking about how the physical practice helps us become less rigid in our mind, but that makes so much sense. Like when we meditate, we become lighter. We become lighter inside, like how we feel, but also in our body. And I think that's quite an interesting perspective. And I also wanted to ask you, if we are doing these asanas, doesn't that have an effect on our emotions in general, like the flow of energies and emotions in our body? Like I think that has a lot to do with gratitude as well. Like it's much easier to feel positive emotions when we take on these practices.
Yes, definitely. And I think if from an Ayurvedic and yoga perspective, actually, that it's believed that all kinds of physical ailments and physical problems, illnesses, sickness, all have an emotional root. So actually, all illness begins from emotions. And I think sometimes when we feel emotionally stuck, at least in my own experience, when I felt stuck, when I feel a bit low, a bit depressed, I find that just moving the body allows me to release those emotions. It somehow allows the energy to flow through, and it changes how I feel. It changes what emotions are running through me. And I think one of the reasons for this is that because the asana practice also affects our endocrine system very strongly. And if we think about the human body, the human system as a system of chemical reactions happening within us that are predicating our state of mind at any point in time. So the release of hormones of endorphins, serotonin, dopamine, usually because these are off link, our endocrine system is not functioning correctly. We sort of are feeling low, feeling down. And so when we do the asana practice, it actually helps to regulate our endocrine system so that the chemical reactions are happening the way they're supposed to be happening. And so we are having the right amounts of serotonin, dopamine, endorphins, etc., releasing into our system naturally. So we can feel better. And I think that's one of the huge bonuses of the asana practice.
Wonderful. I love how you also talked about the physical part, like how our body works, beyond the energies and emotions and how it actually how our physiology actually works and how these practices impact it. And I actually have a curiosity, and I'm really curious about your answer. If you could link gratitude to one of the chakras, what chakra would you link gratitude to?
I would link gratitude to the Anahata, the heart chakra.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that the heart, because all of these emotions of gratitude, faith, and because faith is very different from hope, where we are, when we are in faith, we are in trust. We trust that things are going to work out well, and we trust that what we deserve, what has to come to us, will come to us. And I feel gratitude sort of, it helps us to increase this feeling of faith. And also, I think gratitude is also only possible when we surrender. And surrender is another heart-based practice. And it's also one of the observances in the eight limb path of yoga. And I think that's where gratitude can seep into us when we surrender, when we bow down to forces that are beyond us, when we stop looking at ourselves as the center of the universe and that everything should flow the way we want it to, but we rather align ourselves to things that are beyond our control.
That's a beautiful way of seeing things and of understanding the fact that we indeed are a part of this universe, are a part of this earth, and that there are bigger things than us. And I was actually thinking about the fact that the earth was here before I was here, and it will be here after I will pass, you know. And it's quite interesting to see that we're impermanent, and that we are part of something bigger, and there are things that are beyond our control. And the interesting thing is that there are these kinds of things that actually make us more grateful, right?
Yeah.
Like the fact that there are things that are happening, that there are people that are doing good things for us and are helping us in different ways that make us feel grateful, and it's not in our control. And I think that's an important part of who we are as humans, and how this beautiful universe has been constructed. And I also wanted to ask you about yoga, the yoga philosophy, and what does it teach about gratitude?
So I think one of the niyamas, the observances, is what they call Ishwara Pranidhana, which is surrender to the ultimate or surrender to the divine. And so when we surrender to the ultimate or the divine, or it can be in anybody's perspective, it can be surrendering to energy, it can be surrendering to nature, or any of these forces that we see as the building blocks of our universe. And when we surrender to these forces, we acknowledge that that we live in a space where there are multiple other souls, where there are multiple other beings, and that our will is limited. Our ego is limited in being able to manifest exactly what it is that we wish. And most of the times, we are also very unclear about what it is that will actually bring us complete satisfaction. So a lot of people have a lot of desires which they try to fulfill, but they are actually, they don't understand that it might not bring them the satisfaction that they seek. And that actually the external circumstances around them are not going to actually bring them fulfillment. And so once we come to this realization, even if not completely, even if just a part of us realizes this, we can then surrender to realize that in a way things, if we just allow ourselves to go with the flow, in some ways we will land up where we are supposed to. We will affect the people that we're supposed to affect. People who are supposed to come across our path to teach us will come to teach us. there is a synchronicity, a field that is working for us, which most people are, I think, unaware of, or maybe most of the times also not willing to see, because they do not want to lose control. They want to be in control of their lives. They want to be the leaders of their own lives. And while you can be a leader in your life, it's also important to realize that true leadership comes from knowing that there are things outside of your control. And so instead of trying to turn that into something that you control, you try to surrender to that and allow yourself to move like water, like just filling the spaces that it allows you to. And I think especially so also when we are suffering, a lot of yoga philosophy talks about how we suffer because we have certain cravings and we have certain aversions. So we crave certain things and we are averse, we are pushing away certain other experiences. And so when we crave a certain experience, we want something that is not here with us in the present. We want something in the future based on our experiences of the past. For instance, I wouldn't be able to crave, say, a chocolate in the future if I didn't know how it tasted, if I had not experienced it in my past. So craving takes us out of the present moment into the future and the past. And then we have aversion, which is what we are experiencing here right now. We are trying to push it away. We are trying to fight against this experience. And so what gratitude really does for us is it brings us into that present moment. Regardless of what we are experiencing, what we are feeling, we are grateful for what may seem a burden to others. We are still grateful for that. We are grateful for the lessons it's teaching us, because there's always something to be grateful for, even the hardest of experiences. Say you lose somebody close to you, you can be grateful for the things that they have taught you. You can be grateful for now their passing away, how it's bringing up a maturity in you, how it is those emotions, those difficult emotions are allowing you to access parts of yourself, parts within yourself that are breaking, that are sort of losing away control. And I think really there is something to be grateful for anytime, anywhere. And when we cultivate this practice of gratefulness, whenever we are grateful, we recognize that it brings us back into this presence, into this present moment, and away from our cravings and aversions. So in a sense, gratitude brings us outside of suffering. It takes us away from suffering.
Wow. I love it. I think it's so important, and it's so amazing to feel like you're enough, like life is enough, like you're in the present moment and you're happy with what you have, you're grateful, and that is just an amazing feeling. Like it makes you feel like you don't need anything else and you don't crave for something else. And it's really something very beautiful that indeed gratitude can offer. And I've experienced it quite a lot after meditation sessions or yoga sessions. It's such a beautiful feeling to be in the present and to be grateful and to feel that particular moment is enough. And I think that's so interesting to see that we're able to feel those things in spite of not having some things or not being in a certain place in our life. How do you explain this? How do you explain the fact that we can find happiness basically beyond the physical, the things that we should have or we think would make us happy? How do you explain that?
So I really think, at least from my perspective, that happiness doesn't reside in what we achieve. It doesn't reside in our successes. It doesn't reside in what we own, what material things are around us. Of course, they can add to our happiness, but they are not the sort of spring from which happiness is emerging or emanating. And I think that once we open that tap of happiness which emerges from within, then also we find the energy, we find the vitality when we do that to manifest what we need externally as well. So we find the abundance, we find the relationships that we seek, we find so many things in our external world that we think bring us happiness. We find them once we open this tap of happiness from within. And I really think a lot of spiritual practices around the world, not only yoga and meditation, but different spiritual practices, I think most practices talk about going within, that going within is the seed of bliss, of happiness, that we must seek whatever it is that we are seeking from within. And even though a lot of people understand this intellectually, it's a little difficult to put it into practice. And this is because the way we are brought up, our education system, everything makes us ask questions about what is outside of us. So we develop this strong and keen analytical ability to dissect the world around us, but yet we're not given the tools to start dissecting the world inside of us. We don't know how our own emotions work, how our own mind is working, our own mind is causing ourselves suffering. And because it's difficult to analyze ourselves, because we are so I would say woven into our own stories, our own path, our own life, the experiences that are happening to us, that it's difficult to sort out ourselves. And I think this is really what it must be developed as a practice. It's not that you can just go within and find happiness. It's not so easy, I feel. I feel that it's, of course, you have to go within, but you have to practice going within. It's not that you can just get up one day from severe depression and say that, okay, I'm just going to be happy. It doesn't work that way. You have to actually, you have to practice it. And in the beginning, it might seem like it's not working and you are trying your meditation, you are trying your different practices. So it takes time. It takes a bit of time to actually go within. And it's a practice that has to be cultivated the same way you cultivate a garden. You know, it's overnight, you can't just put a seed and expect a tree. You need to water it patiently day after day, month after month, year after year, before that tree can grow and start to give you fruit. So I see it the same way.
That's so true. And it makes a lot of sense, since the things that got us to where we are, if we are in a bad situation, usually took time to build up. And even though sometimes we might not realize it. And it makes a lot of sense that it would take a while to get out from that situation. And something consistent that will help us heal and get in a better state. But I also wanted to ask you about your experience with gratitude. If you remember the first time that you experienced gratitude, and how it was for you to discover this feeling.
I think the first time I actually experienced gratitude was on a night out with some of in college, where I was with a few buddies, and we actually had done a night trek, and we were atop this sort of hill in out in the countryside, and it was a really beautiful full moon night. And I think I was just sort of awed by the magnificence of nature, by how much we had been given and how much we continue to be given by the earth, even though we are constantly as a species just taking and taking and putting the systems of the earth itself into jeopardy, and yet the earth keeps giving and giving. And it was an experience where I just sat with this feeling of gratitude for the ability to breathe, for the ability to be there, for the ability to have this body, to have this experience. And it was actually I would say in some ways quite a life-changing moment for me. That was possibly the first time I felt gratitude to such an extent, where mm-hmm. before that there may have been things I read, or you know, I would do it for maybe a minute or two or a few minutes, but this was just hours of this overpouring of gratitude. And I think that night, that experience, it really shifted me in some ways.
Beautiful. And what about now? Are you doing something consistently to feel grateful, or is it something that comes naturally to you?
I would say that gratitude comes naturally, but it doesn't come naturally all the time. And so actually I make it a point, like I was saying earlier, that all of these things are practices, and I make it a point every day before I sleep to I actually spend between 5 to 10 minutes just thanking all the experiences, all the people I met in the day. And then I go on to thank my body, the food that's fed me. And I would say there are many days that I actually don't feel the emotion of gratitude, even though I'm saying the thanks, you know? Mm-hmm. So some days it might come across or seem to me more robotic, or like just a ritual that I'm doing. But I found that doing this practice for the last few years has in some way shifted me. Sometimes I may come feeling really maybe a little low, that things are not working out in my life the way I would like them to work out. And I do this practice and I go to bed feeling a peace, feeling a calm, feeling like everything is meant to be. And so I think that just by doing that daily practice, it just brings me back. It reminds me in times where I forget that everything is the way it should be. Mm. And that, yeah, to surrender to that process.
That's so beautiful. And when you think about surrendering just before going to sleep, I'm so sure that it makes for a so much better sleep. Like when you, instead of thinking about all kinds of things that you might not be able to control, you surrender, you feel grateful, you surrender, and you let it go. And I think sleep is very important for all of us, and being refreshed in the morning and able to take on the day is something that's very useful. So gratitude seekers, think about it. If you're not doing this already, it might be a really good idea to take on this practice and to enjoy a better sleep, and also to end the day in a positive note, and by surrendering. I think it's beautiful to do this and to have this perspective. I will definitely take this on as well, surrendering before going to sleep, because it's really something beautiful that we can do. And as I feel it, it can really have a beautiful impact.
Yes, definitely. And I think the one thing I just wanted to add was that I actually feel in some ways that I have been sleeping better as a result of this practice. And I now have come to see sleep as an opportunity we have every day to truly die, and in a sense die to all our problems, all the challenges, all the difficulties, all the routine that we have to go through every day. And so when we do this just before we sleep, we have those few moments right as we drift off into sleep where we are just completely surrendered, as you said. And I think that's why I really enjoy, I've come to enjoy this practice quite a bit.
Awesome. That's a really good tip, and I really appreciate you sharing it. And since we're nearing our time together, I wanted to ask you if you want to mention a few people in your life that you're grateful for.
I'm grateful to a lot of people in my life. I would say I'm particularly grateful to my parents for the way they brought me up, for the way they allowed me to explore from a young age. Even though it seemed like I was not doing the things that most people were doing, or I was not doing the things I should. but I think I'm grateful to them to give me this opportunity to come into my own self. And I'm also grateful to some of the teachers I've come across who have really opened my mind in terms of my practices, my yoga, meditation. I would also say that I work with a lot of sacred medicines, so I'm grateful to people who bring these sacred spirit medicines and to who have dedicated their life to the awakening of humans, who have dedicated their life to bringing us back in harmony with nature in some ways. And I would lastly also say that I'm grateful to everybody out there who is making a positive change, first of all in their personal lives, who are putting in the work, putting in the effort to align themselves more, to feel better in themselves. And that is making a huge quantum shift in our global climate. And also grateful for those like yourself who are making a positive impact in the world around them.
Thank you.
In whatever field it may be. So yeah, really grateful for that.
I love this perspective. And indeed, we are part of this earth, and the better we feel, the better we are as human beings, the better the whole environment is, whether that's the emotional environment or the physical environment or the spiritual environment. And I think that's a beautiful message to end with. But I also wanted to ask you, where can our audience find you? I know that you have beautiful presence on Instagram, a website.
Yeah, you can find me, some of my offerings on my website, which is shivatman.yoga, shivatman.yoga. And with the same name, you can also find me on Instagram. I'm actually in the process also of just starting up a YouTube channel where I want to share some of my perspectives on yoga philosophy and stuff like that. It's still new, but in the future, I hope I can get down to it and really put in some work, getting some videos out there.
Beautiful, beautiful. So check out Rohil's Instagram, website, and YouTube. He has some amazing pictures and some really great ideas that can make a difference. So yeah, thank you so much for accepting my invitation and for being here with us.
Thank you so much for this opportunity and for the work you do. I wish you the best.
Thank you. Hey, Gratitude Seeker, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this interview. I really appreciate it. And if you could think of one person that would also benefit from it, share it with them. It might actually be the inspiration that they need to make their day or maybe even their life much better. Thank you so much once again. This has been Georgian Benta. Don't forget to keep seeking and spreading gratitude.